I think this morning is a prophetic move. It is out of the ordinary and into the extraordinary. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I was thinking on yesterday, the way that I'm thinking now, I am now thinking outside the box, finally. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm out of the box. Finally can think outside the box. I'm going to move into the new spirit. Well, now to the scripture, that the scripture is alive in you. So everything that is being read, you should see yourself in the scripture. When the scripture come forth, you ought to say, that's me and that's mine. Hello, somebody. Do I got a church in here this morning? I'm going to testify this morning. And sometimes when I testify, you may hear it once. I may never say it ever again. Some of the testimonies and things that I've been through has been so tender, so bad and so horrific that sometimes you can only say it once. Hello, somebody. You can't say it twice. And then the Lord has laughter. He got me ready. I didn't know what the senior pastor wanted this morning, but the Lord said, I have dressed you as the rider going in. Come on, somebody. So I'm dressed as the rider. I'm riding in this morning. Hallelujah. I want to start off by saying that I came about 3 or 4 weeks about being delivered of pain. How many heard that testimony? I'm not going to say it again because I don't feel like crying this morning, but I've been delivered of pain. The now pain and the past pain. Oh my God. All of it. Just get out the door. Exit. Take your exit and go in Jesus' name. That now pain and that past pain, it's time for it to go. Amen. Because where I'm getting ready to exhort into, you can't carry that. And I'm hearing the messages of this house of where he's taking us into the open door. You can't take your pain to an open door. Hello, somebody. Not in Christ. You can't try it. You know, in the world, we try everything. But in Christ, there are preliminary. There are some hazardous signs up, red alerts. You're not coming through with pain. Hallelujah. So glory be to God. The Lord began to strip and take the pain. And he did a now pain, but he did a past pain out of me. And I mean, it felt good. I can testify with LaRue when he says how he cut. It's almost like you want to look and see, are you bleeding? Like, did he just cut me for real? But that's how it feels when things leave out of your life. You can tell that he's severing the bone marrow and the spirit. Hello, somebody. He severs it. And I want to say that that was a good exit for me. Now to the good part. The good part is being delivered from the orphan spirit. Him coming to get the orphan out of me. Kept knocking at the door. He kept knocking at that door. I was opening other doors for him. I'm going to open this door. You can come in this door. But it was a specific door he wanted to come through. And it was one to place my identity and dismantle the orphan in me. He dismantled every part of the orphan in me. And I give him praise this morning. Come on and put your hands together. It's tough even to announce that the orphan is gone. Because it's a way that you live. It's a way. It's just a wave. It's just habitual of year after year after year after year. It's the way of being. So when he came to deliver me from the orphan spirit, I recognized immediately the orphan spirit was connected to a lot of dysfunction. I recognized immediately there was a lot of damage in my life because of the orphan spirit. I realized that my past had a lot to do with it. And I realized that all of that was affecting my future. And I realized that I sat on this front row long enough that I wasn't going to go through an open door with an orphan spirit. My God, Jesus, I realized it. Got about 15 people in here this morning. You're going to be set free of an orphan spirit. You're going to be set free of an orphan spirit. You're going to be set free of an orphan spirit. You're going to be set free of an orphan spirit. You got to recognize that it lived there. Then you can be set free from it. Delivered from the orphan spirit. And anything like a 43-year-old woman, what does it look like? Because we pretend to have it together. Nobody in here even looks like an orphan. Come on, first orphan to the front. All orphans to the front. If you ran down here now, online will say, not an orphan, not an orphan, not an orphan, not an orphan, not an orphan. It's not identified in the physical. It is recognized in a realm of the spirit in a high place. So when you sit down at the right hand of God, that power knows work must be done. So work have been done for months concerning my life. And I text Pastor Chuck to let him know I'm continually to embrace the new spirit. That took about 40 years. I want to read to you this morning something that I believe is part of my testimony, is part of what has dismantled some things from my life. The messages in this house is getting heavy. The glory in this house is showing up. We cannot run around orphans with an ascension sons and daughters. That is a create of mixture. And the Lord, it says no when it comes to this house. There will be no orphans in the glory of God. Come on and give God some praise. Come on and give him some praise. Tell him yes. Gonna be no little orphans running around the glory. And then the sons and the daughters got to tell the orphans what to do. Father says no. And he ain't saying no because of now. He said no in the beginning. That's what Carlos was trying to minister this morning. He said no to the orphan in the beginning. When he saw 2018, he knew that he had to take care by way of the blood. So the damage was already done, but the blood cured it and paid the price. Your price is paid. I just heard him say, there's no dollar on it. It's a decision on it. Yeah. Glory be to God. I'm trying to get to 2 Timothy. I got two scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, 4, and 5. This happened to me. This is my testimony. This helped me get into a place. This helped me get somewhere and sit down. You heard somebody say, go sit down. You know, you ever told your kids, sit down? That means that you're being too bad. You're being too obnoxious. You're out of control. You need to go somewhere and sit. 2 Timothy, the Lord called me a traitor. I mean, I didn't preach for years. How dare? Come on. He says, you're going to be a traitor in a few years if you don't get this right. What did the Lord say? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than the lovers of God. This is when the breaking came. He says, Tina, be aware of having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. So when I was going through this breaking and the orphan, the deliverance was happening. Weeks. It was coming right in here. It was happening. I was like, form. Be careful of the form of godliness. The orphans wear the form because they don't know how to wear the full clothes of being godly and having God as the lover over their souls. Orphan don't even know how to allow him to be the lover over the soul part. The soul. Okay. So he was explaining to me that the orphan in maturity will end up with a form because they have denied the power thereof. What power? What are you talking about? The power of what I'm trying to do in your life right now. So he took me back years, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. The power of what I was doing for you in 2011, did you deny it or did you keep it? Kept rolling. I saw years of prophetic. I saw years in this house and other houses rolling through, and I was a part of it. Did you keep the power? Because the power was sent to do a work on the inside. And through the years of coming through with the Lord, he releases powers to do a great work in you. And it's your decision to let him do it and finish so you don't end up with a form of godliness. Somebody's like, well, that ain't going to happen to me. No way. I said the same thing. When you think about it, when the Father comes and tell you, you're in jeopardy of a form. I'm trying to get you to a glory place to stay. You're jeopardizing what I'm trying to do in you. I said, come on, Holy Spirit, let's get to work. Come on. I need about 10 or 15 people in here to say, come on, Holy Spirit, let's get to work. Let's get to work. And I'm going to tell you the magic. And we know it's not magic. We know it's miracle signs and wonders. And we know it's the power. But I'm going to tell you what it was able to do in just a short sentence. It was able to go in and undo everything that was done. He undid it. He just undid it. I didn't have to do a lot of work. My work. What's the decision making? I began to see moving into this because coming up, I'm getting ready to see a new spirit. And that was just a few weeks ago. So you can already imagine where I've been in the form of godliness. I'm going to tell you, sons and daughters, you don't want to be caught in this 21st century millennium time of glory with a form. You don't want to be caught in an orphan stage. You don't want that stain left on you. And if I could get it right and do it right, I would have. If I could just get by, because I thought I was in. I'm like, I'm in now. Every revelation that I was hearing from LaRue, I was going in. I was going in. Word was just kidding me. But there was a reality between me and the Father. That where I'm trying to go to, there's another change that got to take place. There's a spiritual reality that the church is sleeping on. And the Father is saying it's time to wake up. Don't wake up on your spiritual check. When he comes to check you, come on somebody, it ain't me. But when the Lord comes and says, I'm going to check this, let him check it the way he is pleased. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the way he comes in and he does a great work. And so when the orphan spirit showed up, I saw myself, I saw everything. I didn't even think some of what I was doing was orphanage. You know, you think about a little stray dog that don't have water, okay? Every time they say orphan spirit, I'm thinking of the orphanage. I'm thinking there's a little girl in there that don't have parents and she's crying because she wants Christmas and nobody's coming and she's been there for 7 years. I'm thinking about the orphanage little boy that's 15. He's bad, never had a father, so he's still there and nobody came and picked him up. That's what I'm thinking. But a real orphan don't know who his father is. When the orphan figures out, I don't need a truck or a doll. I got a father in heaven that has it all, and he is a deliverer. And he shows up more than Christmas. He's not a Christmas father. Hello, somebody. Do I got other saints in here that knows that he's not a Christmas daddy? He makes your day every day. He just makes your day. You woke up saying, no, I don't feel good, but he gonna make you feel good. You can't see that it's gonna be a good day, but he makes it a good day because he's trying to take that orphan out of you and let you know I'm a father to embrace you. And everything you can't do, I've already did. Somebody tell him yes. Working too hard, working too hard, working too hard. This ruffles feathers because we don't want to believe that we were ever orphans. Mm-mm. A religious finger. Mm-mm. I ain't never been an orphan. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. My mom and my daddy made a way for us all our lives. That's not what I'm talking about. I ate every day. That's not what I'm talking about. I went to school dressed for summer and winter. I had everything. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your spirit, your mind, and your heart. Not knowing who your father is. Some of you doing the orphan shuffle. Then you're going to turn this way, and then you're going to do it this way. In my job, we call that the shuffle, the PV shuffle, when you go in circles. I'm not talking that you got it all together the way you think. I'm talking about when your heart, your spirit tells you there's a father in heaven that wants to love you before you get there. Thank you. Oh, I feel an anointing on that. I feel right now somebody just got free from the orphan spirit. I feel it, Bianca. I really do. This is your word. I really feel, Bianca, that you're getting ready to be loved before you get to him. Come on, somebody. Can I take you with me to a new spirit? Somebody just received that I need to be loved before I get there. This is what I've been going through for months, trying to be loved before I get there. This is what my battle's been. Actually getting it before I get to him. Because by the time he see me, he gonna see my crown that he gave me. I was here. No more waiting to be loved. No more waiting. If you knew a line and there was a place set up by your house And you passed by and saw the line whipped around your neighborhood. And they told you, if you stand in that line, you can be loved. You would jump in that line. Because there's an acknowledgement that we're not being loved. We don't have enough. We're not moving in. We're going in, but something is sending us back out. There's a bottom line. And the dilemma with the orphan spirit, it has not fully received the Father's love. Because if certain folks rub you the wrong way, you can X them out. You can shut down. You can delete their number. You can block them on your Instagram. No longer can you see me on Twitter. Get up off my Facebook. You are deleted. Just imagine what's happening as the Father is trying to love you. You don't really know how to respond. You can't delete him from your Facebook. You can't take him off of Twitter. But you are severing the greatest, greatest destiny and inheritance that he has prepared. You are gambling your life while here. You are putting everything at stake. To remain in an orphan spirit. Because he never promised those of us that were so broken. And the orphan spirit has layers, people. Just do. I can't even imagine the layers that I have. He wiped some of them out. You ever been set free and you don't even know what you were free from? It's like, I just got delivered, but I really don't know what I got delivered from. Like, I don't know. Because there's so many layers. So many attachments. And if you were anything like me, you let people in and they hurt you. Then you got to know how to deal with them going back out. And if you're anything like me, you're just making friends everywhere and they're really your enemies. It's just so much that the orphan come in contact with. And the orphan never discerns. You're about to get hurt. It's probably going to cost you a little bit. You're going to go back into some bad seasons. What I do know. So the orphan becomes immune to a lot of toxicity. I'm saying that your normal is your normal. But I'm here to announce that the Father says there is a new normal for you to live. Come on and receive it. There is a new normal for you to live.
Come on, let's give God glory. That's awesome.
I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do today? Because he said, have Tina go in front of you and you just follow her lead. And so while I'm sitting here in worship, I kid you not, start writing down my message. But I did not tell her. I said, whatever the Lord tells you to do. And I'm following your lead, but I'm already writing my message down. This is how in sync we are. My first line is orphan spirit. John 14, John 16. The whole thing. And it's like the Lord is speaking to us in a profound way. This statement, she said, you can't have orphans with ascended sons and daughters. Listen, we have an opportunity unlike any opportunity given this generation. We're going into the door first. But to go into that door, another thing she said, you can't go to that door with an orphan spirit. We have to be ready for what God's doing. We have to be in tune with what God is saying. Because if you're not, the whole kingdom of God is centered around being in tune, being in step, being in sync, being in alignment. Being able to see what our Father doeth. The Lord said, I can do nothing unless I see what my Father is doing. And then I do those things. You cannot see what the Father's doing unless you know the Father, unless you're in fellowship with the Father. The world wants to have your soul in the ascendancy of your life so it can continually attach itself to the world system. God wants your spirit in ascendancy so it can be continually attached to Him. Because the whole kingdom of God functions and centers around love. Not your human love, but the Father's love. It's not about waking up and saying, I have to go love today. You won't make it very long doing that. You have to dwell in the Father's love to love the way He wants you to love. And He'll allow all human capacity, soulish capacity of love to be broken down to show you that is not the way. It is the love of the Father that dwells in us that causes the response and our actions, reactions, behavior patterns from that love. It doesn't make you perfect, but it perfects you from the inside out, not outside in. If you're perfecting from the outside actions, you're missing the boat. This is why God is centered us around this message of dwelling with Him where He is. I love what she said, defining what you think is an orphan and what an orphan is. You may have had good parents, but you're still an orphan when it comes to the kingdom because you don't know the Heavenly Father. It's the Heavenly Father. What is the basis of the Lord's Prayer? What's the first part of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. If you don't know Him, you really are not going to be able to pray to Him effectively. And what, believe it or not, the Father wants more than anything, He wants us to learn how to receive from Him. Because He is so generous and so loving and so big-hearted. He has a plan. It wasn't until after the Father loved me that He really let me in on the true plan that He has for this body. He won't let you in. He'll show you and show you and show you, but when you really start moving in a place of faith with Him is after He loves you, after He deals with the orphan spirit. You can turn in the Bible to John 14. Hebrews 12 says the Lord is the author and the finisher of our faith. He didn't say author and finisher of our salvation. He said author and finisher of our faith. What the Lord does, He perfects our faith. So when we exercise faith with the Father, we're exercising a perfected faith. You cannot have a perfected faith with an orphan spirit. It's just not possible. Amen? He embeds this in this mystery, John 14, just amazing. Because we didn't compare notes, but the Holy Ghost has the prophet and apostle speaking apostolically of preparation of what we are called to do and to be. Because God has some very large things behind that door. It's the crown. The faith to transcend dispensation. We got into that heavy Wednesday night. We described what dispensational faith is. God is calling this house to transcend the dispensation we live in. Abraham did it. David did it. John did it. Peter, James, and John did it. Amen. Enoch. He walked with God. He was and he was not. And he gave witness. The Lord would come with 10,000 of his saints. He was one of the firstborn and he saw the very end. Because he dwelt with God. Amen. In John 14, just as a refresher, verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. That word comfortless means orphan. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. You can say it like this. Everybody that's not born again are orphans. I don't care if you were raised by the greatest parents in the earth. You're still an orphan when it comes to the Father. Everybody who's born in religion are orphans because they're never going to find the Father in religion. Amen? But those who understand the message of this generation, the message, the final message goes with the final ministry. It's the ministry of the Father. Amen. It's what the Lord operated in. He's not going to return until a whole remnant nation, a nation of people will walk in the fullness of what he walked in, the way he walked in it. Amen. Glory to God. He goes, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. His first thing is, I'm coming to you. I'm knocking on the door. I'm going to come to you first. I'm going to sup with you where you are. But I'm going to shift the way you view God. It's not, Father, come and visit me. God, come to me. I'm going to come to you where you are so you can be with me and my Father where we are. That's not in the sweet by and by. I must come to you and teach you who you are, teach you jurisdictional transfer. I'm going to send my Spirit. He's going to teach you Urkamei. He's going to teach you how to transfer. He's going to teach you how to move in the kingdom. He's going to bring you through the door. He's going to bring you to me where I am so I can bring you to the Father where he is. And if you don't ever learn how to move in the Spirit, you'll miss the greatest thing the gospel ever was. Far greater than salvation, his heart was the full restoration and reconciliation to the Father. You cannot dwell with him in a long enough place that he's not going to turn you into the Father, because that is his heart. If you want to know the heartbeat of the Lord, the first heartbeat is the lost. The second greatest heartbeat he has is to restore you to the Father. That you may know his joy. He said that my joy would be fulfilled in you. That's not so you can roll around and laugh. He said, my joy is to stand and sit in the presence of the Father. And I want you to know what I have. More than that, I want you to be with me where I am. For where I am, there shall you be also. That one scripture, if you could hold it and keep it long enough, it has the power to deliver you in through the veil. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, John 14:19. But you'll see me. But you're not going to see me with those natural eyes. Because I live, you will live also. You're going to see me because I'm going to bring you revelation that's going to light an invisible kingdom. And that revelation is going to cause you to see things you couldn't see before. It's going to cause you to move in the places you couldn't move before. It's going to cause you to dwell in places you couldn't dwell before. Because your soul, you could write this down, does not have the capacity to find the Father. It will remain fatherless. It is the light of this word that causes your spirit to ascend, to come alive. It creates a compass, a heavenly compass. It causes light to come forth and for you to reach into places you couldn't reach before. That's why people who try to move into these arenas and they tap out is because they don't have enough word dwelling there. It's that word. It's the Spirit that breathes the words of John 14:15, 16, 17. He breathes the light of it. And he breathes the light of it. You see it. The greatest mystery ever. It said, a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. You have to be able to see him where he is. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father. You shall intimately gnosko know that I am in my Father and you are with me in him. You will know it. You will experience it. You will encounter it. You'll know it that day when you see me. When my word lights the path for you, you'll see me. You'll see it. You have to protect that sight. If your soul remains in ascendancy, you'll be distracted.
You'll try to pray, you can't get anywhere. Because the wrong part of you is in ascendancy. It has to be dethroned. That is the Lord's preparation to introduce you to the Father. He begins the dethroning of those things that are in the way. He is intent on moving things out of the way. He does not need more busy bees out there with partial anointings. He has a whole body full. He needs full-age anointings with full-age sons and daughters. And to be full-age, we must dwell in the presence of the Father. It's not enough for presence anymore. We must dwell in the presence of the Father. It's not enough just the presence of God. We must ascend all the way up so He can make us whole the way He defines making us whole. Not walking with a smile on your face and coming to church. The way He defines wholeness. The way He defines fullness. It's an everyday thing. That's why if you go in by chance, you're not going to make it by chance. If you go in by encounter, you better learn to get that encounter and mark it well, because you're going to have to learn faith. The glorious pathway of faith is once you're faith gets that pathway. I remember when Cody, he's really struggling getting to the Father. And he came in here and we actually hit the Father that day. We all did. And it was glorious. And Cody goes, God, I got in. And so he said, I got my pathway. I'm like, as soon as he said that, I knew he had it. I knew he'd be able to go back. Because when he said, I got my pathway, he saw the pathway to the Father. And pretty soon, he just started moving into the Father. Just sit a little while. Now, go to 16. You'll never, ever redefine this. You can't redefine this process. You can't go make your own. You just got to do it the way He says do it. He said, if a man keepeth my words, him my Father will love. It's these words that are going to separate you to the presence of the Father. But He has something in mind in loving you, in loving you and walking with you. He wants to release His kingdom through you. He wants you to be able to receive from Him freely. His love deals with the unworthiness. His love deals with alignment issues. His love gets your heart and your spirit in alignment with Him. That doesn't mean He's not going to let you receive things. God doesn't mind you having things when you're fully in love with Him. He'll give you an abundance of it. But He wants you to dream big with Him, because you'll move into an unlimited capacity to receive. The door we're in front of, the dispensational door of the crown, is going to open everything up. It changes from the operation of sharecropper faith, the full-age sons of inheritance. Sharecroppers, you know what they are? They go and plow the fields, and they reap from the fields. Sons own the fields. Amen. Verse 16, he picks this up again. He deals with a fear issue. Says perfect love cast out fear. That's not a spirit. That's the kind of fear that resides from the world system. It can be a spirit, but it's a whole lot more. It's the fear, the intimidation, the unworthiness that's residing in the old man. It's got to be continually cast out and removed so we walk in the fullness. I love this, John 16. He said, a little while. You know what the Lord wanted more than anything when He was in His earthly ministry? For those around Him to get who He was. I'm finding the higher you go, what you love more than anything is those who track with you. They're tracking. They're in step. They're with you. They haven't drawn aside. They haven't drawn back. They're right there. They understand what's going on. Because when you walk with God, you get eyes to see. That's just the way it is.
Now, you may not always be able to share what you see because you also get discernment. Because sometimes you see things about certain people and you can't go tell them because they don't have ears to hear. Sometimes you got to wait it out. Amen? You wait it out. You pray for them and wait it out. They're not ready. But those who track with you, whew, that's the most awesome. A little while, verse 16. John 16:16, you'll not see me again. And in a little while, you'll see me. See, he's going to pick right back up from 14. Then say to the disciples, what is this he's saying? There's a little while, you shall not see me again in a little while. Could you imagine the Lord's constantly, this is upper room stuff. And they're not getting a word he's saying. He knew it. He knew he's going to have to send his Holy Spirit to light these words up. Amen. He says, you inquire among yourselves what I'm talking about. Basically, he's saying, listen, I'm going to go away. You're not going to see me like this anymore, but I'm going to come again. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to you. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. And he's going to light the path for you to see me, to know me, and to be with me. Because ultimately, I want you to have what I have. To dwell with my Father. I want you to know his love. I can't tell you. I'm trying to get to my point here. My point is this amazing love and what it does to your daily faith. Because for 11 months, all he did was love me. But after that, he's put me on this door. He goes, I want dispensational faith from you and nothing less. I'm like, God, that's impossible. He goes, yeah. I'm like, that's against all hope in the natural. He goes, yeah. But it's so natural right now. It's not like it was before because I don't do any of this in my natural man. If I start thinking about it too long in the natural, I'm going, what am I doing? This is the craziest thing ever. But when I'm in the spirit, it just feels good. And the greatest thing ever is to be with him every day. Before I even go in front of that door, I go in front of him. I wait. I'm patient. I know I got one shot every day, and I'm going to be patient. I'm going to ride up that mountain, and then I get in the presence of love because his love does something that no other place will do. He washes, he cleanses, he fills, he satisfies, he occupies, he casts out fear, he dethrones everything. It's just so full and lovely. No fear, no intimidation, nothing. I'm not wearing anything but him. It's weeping constantly, crying tears of joy and deep fulfillment. So the time he puts me in front of dispensational faith, the impossible becomes possible because I'm not feeling doubt. I'm not feeling unbelief. I'm not feeling fear. I'm feeling hope. I'm feeling security. I sit at that door with his love. I sit at that door with security. I sit at that door with ultimate faith. And every day it's like, it's just glorious. There's no doubt anywhere. And I'm like, this is the God kind of faith. He says, you can't have the God kind of faith on this side of the Father. You have to exercise it on the other side of love. Because love has to clear the slate every day. It's not like we're Superman and we eat angel food cake. I mean, we have to get up like everybody else and we ascend the mountain. But once you get cleared out and you're with the Father, you're Superman. You're filled with a fullness of love and contentment and grace and fullness and light. There's no power like it. And when he points you in a direction, he asks you to do the impossible. I was always trying to do the impossible on the wrong side of love. My soul was trying to obtain the impossible. It never can. It'll produce one Ishmael after another, because it cannot obtain. Only can obtain after you've been loved. You obtain without fear. He prepares your faith. And he can set you in front of a possible door. And you can sit there with ultimate faith. I'm like, this is the kind of faith Abraham found. Against hope, believed in hope. I'm finding this faith that's so amazing at this grandiose door, the huge, massive. I'm like, are you really asking us to go into a I set before you an open door. Are you really asking us to move into the next dispensation? He says, yes. But I'm asking you to be loved first. In the pathway that he created is so amazing. You can't change it. It's partake of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings you to Christ. Christ brings you to the Father. The Father brings you to the kingdom for the manifestation thereof. And when it's done that way, it's going to be perfect. It is perfect. Though I sound like a man with unbelief, I'm not shaken. It settles you daily. It creates a dependency that you love to be dependent on him. It creates a dependency as like, I'm going to be with him because I cannot do life without him. I can't do this. He sets you in a place where you cannot do it without dwelling in him. But dwelling in him, you can do all things. Verse 22, and I'll close. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man will take from you, because you're going to know the Father. There is so much joy in the Father. You laugh, you cry, you worship, you explodes. Do you know the greatest thing ever with a Father is the embrace? Say the embrace. When he holds you, I'm like, do that again. Sometimes I'll have him do that 20 times in one day. Do that again. Sometimes he has to peel me away to go to the door that I really want to be at because I really want this crown more than anything, but I don't want to leave his love. And he says, you don't have to. We'll go together. I said, just do that again. Even when I'm at the door and I'm exercising faith at that door, there's no telling what he's going to have us do with this because you get tapping into the God. He can then put you in front of impossible stuff. And it's not impossible anymore. But just do that again, Father. Hold me. There's no embrace like that embrace. When he holds you, he wraps all in his from the inside out, outside in. This exhilarating love just releases. I do that again, Father. Every time he does, your heart elevates. Do that again. I elevate again. Just nobody can do that like he can. Every part of this journey is worth it once you get there. And you don't have any idea what you're missing if you're not dwelling there daily. You are not doing life the way he intended. He wants you there daily. In that day, the same day of 14, that you know that I'm in the Father and you're with me, after I've loved you, you'll ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, what you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you. See, now this is post-love. After you start learning to encounter, after he's removed the orphan, now he's going to get into some kingdom business with you. The stuff everybody wants God to do, but they're not able to access him because they're not accessing him at this level. Amen? It's true kingdom prayers. These are not minor prayers because when you dwell with the Father, he expands your horizon. Because if you can do it, he'll never ask you to believe him for something you can do. Because if you can do it, you won't need him. That's why when he asks you, after he's loved you, he'll ask you to do something so large. It was such a gap between you and that place. I'm like, really? He says, yeah,
Let's do it together. Because now you have what you need to actually access that kind of faith. Give him glory. Before, the old man would override, the world would override, fear would override, but love is pushing it out always, all the day long. It's pushing it out and building a shield around me. That I am in a cocoon of pure faith and pure rest and pure love. It's a faith that's working by the Father's love. And it's good. The 11 months he loved me, he didn't give me no assignments. Because he was restructuring the orphan. But now he's given assignment. And it's by divine order he gives assignment on the other side of his love. And it's big assignments. It's large assignments. But you can do it. Because it's not you that's doing it. It's him in you that's doing it. Because his faith gives you confidence and assurance. He fuels your faith with what it needs to not give up. You're not walking around in doubt and unbelief all day. I wonder if this is going to happen. This is never going to happen. People who walk around like this and get all frustrated, they're not dwelling with the Father. Because you don't live in frustration when you're dwelling with the Father. There is no such thing as love and frustration. Love drives it all out. That's why you need to point your faith to love. But then love's going to point your faith to the kingdom mandates. Say kingdom mandates. This is where we are. Everybody's in a journey here. I have a whole series on the Father's love, mysteries of the upper room. I would just live in that day in. Put it in your ear. But if you just live, that image is constantly being sown in you and sown in you and sown in you and sown and sown. It's going to create a compass where your faith's going to override. You're going to start moving up into the Father. Amen? Once you get to the Father, it does wonders for your faith. Verse 24, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Now look at this. After you've been loved, what's he saying? Ask. Ask. Come on, let's get on with the kingdom now. Let's do it now. Ask and you'll receive that your joy may be full. These things I've spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time cometh that I'll no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I'll just openly show you the Father. And at that day that I openly reveal him to you, then you shall ask in my name. Then you'll receive. Then you'll transact in the kingdom. Don't try to transact in kingdom mandates without the Father's love. Then you'll ask. Then you'll receive. He's giving you his word. He cannot lie. If you do it this way, and if you come to the Father, and if you allow this orphan spirit to be dealt with, if you learn to dwell on the Father, then we will start exercising kingdom mandates through your life. Then you'll bear some serious fruit. John 15, you've not chosen me, verse 16, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. That's kingdom mandated prayer that's coming out of the abiding place of the Lord, and the Lord causing you to abide in the Father, and then you're going to start transacting in the kingdom. Listen to me very carefully. Everything you see this place to be is going to radically shift and change. I'm talking a paradigm shift I don't think any one of us in this room are ready for. A paradigm shift. Because faith is overriding now. It's reaching to grab something and bring it back here. And faith will be successful in the Father. As he's promised. If you come into the Father and get to know his love, then you'll ask. You can say ask big. Because from that position, the Father's going to give you assignments. The Father's going to give you a mandate. The Father's going to have you take something on that'll shift the generation you live in. And you'll be able to walk with him in it because you have found something that causes you to stay continually aligned. Continually in peace, continually in rest, continually in love, so your faith will not falter or wane. Against hope, you'll believe in hope, you'll stagger no more at the promise of God. But strong in faith, giving glory to God that what he had promised, he is able to perform because you're walking with him. Glory! And the reward, whoo! The post-love reward of walking with the Father. One transaction with the Father represents a whole generational inheritance. One transaction. He thinks so much bigger than we do. So much larger. I'm thinking a crown. He's thinking 100,000 crowns. I'm thinking the birth of one Solomon. He's wanting to birth 100,000 Solomons. Isn't that glorious? Let's give him glory. Hallelujah.